Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer gut, immer günstig, immer vielfältig. Kurz gesagt, Frische für alle. Zum Aldi-Preis. Diese Woche Zespri Sangold Kiwi. Das Stück für nur 55 Cent. Oder dunkle Tafeltrauben. 500 Gramm für nur 1,79 Euro. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Stu does America.
Welcome to Stu Does America. We got a great show for you today. Dave Landau will be here in a little bit, but we're going to start by doing the emasculation of the left. They really are just having, they're just on the search for dudes, as we talked about a little bit last week. And why? Why don't Democrats, why don't they attract guys anymore? Just, you know, dudes that want to be dudes, you know? Why? Well, let me give you one example. We arrive from
we're
the White House.
Every urge not to open drawers, but it's in our DNA.
See, there's John Lewis.
Yeah.
So there we are on the Edmund Pettus Bridge.
Oh, wow.
Honey,
are you there? Not in my presence. All right, stop. Okay, so guys dressed up in dresses with their beards still on. This is one example. Maybe not relating to guys too closely, okay? And, you know, we, of course, you know, this is the type of stuff that reaches people too, right? Like it's, you know, as much as I know everyone loves my breakdowns of, you know, trade tariff tables, maybe a guy with a full beard dressed in a dress meeting the vice president of the United States hits their social media feed a little bit more maybe it hits their feed more towards the top than my Excel sheets do. I mean, I'm just throwing that out there. It's possible. Now, of course, Democrats are trying to figure this out. They want to spend $20 million on how to attract male voters. Then they've got even more ideas. Do you even vote, bro? Democrats should look for new voters at the gym. Yes, look for your new voters in the one place that no one ever wants to talk to you. No one wants to be approached at the gym. Hey, who are you going to vote for in the next election? Shouldn't it be a guy in a dress? That's not going to work. Just so you know, of course, The View has better advice. Joey Behar says you can reclaim men. It's kind of a waste of money to spend all that $20 million on it because you could just teach them not to be such sexists. Again, totally going to work. I'm 100% sure. Nate Silver, who, you know, is a left-leaning guy, maybe more moderate than certainly a bunch of the lunatics on the left. But he is one of these data guys, and he has a blog, a Substack called Silver Bulletin. If you like the nerdy sort of stuff we talk about in the show, it's a good thing to subscribe to. He's got a lot of stuff that he breaks down, and you might not always agree with his analysis, but he's got good stuff in there. And I encourage you to subscribe. If you like that sort of stuff, he wrote a book that came out last year, and I think it was called On the Edge. But he had this kind of theory of the world and the world it was kind of developing, particularly maybe more on the left. Between, if you kind of look at, think of a map, and you have the idea of a village and the river, and the people who are in the river are different than the people in the village, even though they might vote the same way sometimes. People in the village are sort of like the Democratic establishment types that you might think of when you think of traditionally who's a Democrat. And the river is a sort of growing, but much smaller group of people who, you know, really like risk. Maybe people who gamble, who are into crypto, who are entrepreneurial types that are comfortable with some level of failure. You have sort of the people who take these sort of risky positions and that make a lot of people uncomfortable, but there's a thirst for that risk in this particular community. He talks about that as it relates to the Democrats' failures in this realm. He says, I'm not exactly sure the river's alliance with Trump has gone well, especially with Musk's recent departure from the White House. By the way, Musk is bashing this bill now, calling it a catastrophe and disgusting, and I wonder how long this relationship's going to last. It shifted the Republican platform on issues like AI and crypto. That's true. And more importantly, it has changed the vibes around Trump. Instead of being the party of fat cats and crazy uncles, which is how my generation of liberalish men tended to stereotype Republicans, the GOP can at least sort of claim to be the party of risk-taking, entrepreneurship, and rocket ships to Mars. Meanwhile, unlike the Bush era, moderate men might think those villagey Democrats who want to police their speech and their behavior. And that's just they're generally unchill, turning everything into a political conversation. Last year, Trump fared better among voters who don't consume a lot of political news, which liberals like to read as a sign that these voters were poorly informed. But that could also indicate that Trump was winning the more apolitical normie vote. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. You know, Trump really reached into those areas in ways that, you know, previous Democrats or Republicans were unable to do it. A lot of times Democrats would win those people, you know, who were just kind of playing off of vibes. A lot of times Trump was winning those people in this particular election back in 2024. Still, I don't doubt that some of Democrats' problems with young men is that they're seen as what in the poker world we call nits, neurotic, risk averse, sticklers for the rules, always up in everybody's business. Yeah. Although I've seen it written about elsewhere, I was honestly surprised about how strong the relationship is. Among voters who report poor mental health, liberals outnumber conservatives 45-19%. Among those who report excellent mental health, conservatives outnumber liberals 51-20%. Now, again, if you're running in Democratic circles, as maybe Nate is doing, that would be more surprising. I mean, I am even surprised, honestly, at the levels there. But like, generally speaking, when I meet conservatives, they're generally members of families that seem to be doing pretty well, people who have jobs, people who are involved in their communities. I mean, that's been the standard conservative thing. We embrace those institutions more. And you know, look, I mean, Donald Trump, I would not say is necessarily the exact trophy, the person you put on the marquee to illustrate traditional family values. He's had a little bit of a roller coaster in that world. It does seem that conservatives generally have always been that way. And I think, naturally speaking, wind up being happier people. If you think about the way that the left looks at the world, that everybody's an oppressor, everyone else is oppressed. Right? Like, that's a dark world. It's a depressing world at some level. And I think, you know, seeing that world that way, well, I'm not surprised that maybe you have a negative relationship with mental health. We also have young men. The Democrats of trouble aren't necessarily the ones that have been captured by the conservative manosphere or looking for a helping hand. Rather, it's those who report relatively high mental health that see Democrats as being too neurotic and perhaps constraining their opportunity to compete and reap the rewards of their work. I mean, it makes sense, too, right? Like, if your friend's getting canceled at work because they made some joke that you actually thought was kind of funny, you're going to be like, that's going to turn you off. If when you come in and you make flirt with a woman and they go to HR and you get fired for it or something, again, you might just be an a-hole in that situation. But if it was innocent enough and you're just trying to, I don't know, attract someone from the opposite sex, which used to be kind of one of the main goals of life, you're going to be kind of like repulsed by that other side. If you don't like dudes with beards and dresses or dudes with breast implants flashing themselves on the White House lawn, you might be one of those people turned off by that entire party. Now, there is a Chartapalooza in there. I'll let you know. You can go to Nate's site to see all of them. But let me give you a few. This change in race. A change in Democratic support from 2020 to 2024. This is by race and gender. And to give you a Chartapalooza summary for you podcast listeners out there. With men, Democrats are down by 5 points total, 4 among white men, 8 among black women, 12 among Latino men, Asian men down 6. You know, the most Latino county in America moved, this is according to the New York Times, moved from the Democratic side toward the Republican side in a period of about 4 presidential elections by the number of something like 89 points. I mean, it's remarkable, and that's what the left is saying in their analysis is incredible. Now, age differences and views different when it comes to socialism and capitalism. This is a very disturbing period at some point here because actually ages 18 to 29 view somehow socialism more positively than capitalism, which is fascinating. But what you do see is that men are much more in favor of capitalism than women are. Women see socialism. About 35% positive, or 38% positively, just slightly more positive overall for capitalism. The difference is 2-1. I mean, 68-35 among men. Again, men seem to like that sort of foundational element of the country. And so when you come out and you say capitalism's evil, you do the AOC pitch, they're obviously going to hate that. Young men have more optimism about the economy than women do. And here's the mental health chart. You see that there's always a little bit of a mental health gap. Men tend to have a little bit better mental health than women do. I'm not making any commentary there, though, you know, we've all noticed it throughout life. But it's actually worse among Gen Z. This is why I'm happy I'm not back in the dating pool. Gen Z is actually, you see the gap is very, very wide between men and women. And also, mental health, it just falls off a cliff the younger you are. Now, that's also partially you're just trying to figure things out in the world. You know, maybe you don't understand it. It's a difficult time, I guess, when you're younger. But as you get older, maybe you're a little bit more foundationally secure in your mental health. That does seem to happen as people age. That being said, it's almost always behind for women, and certainly more and more for massive difference between moderates, conservatives, and liberals. Here's how that works out. Excellent mental health. 51% of conservatives say they have excellent mental health. Only 30% of moderates, 20% for liberals. If you go to the bottom of that scale, only 19% of conservatives say they have poor mental health. 35% say moderate, 45% of liberals. This is who you're appealing to. If you're Democratic, your Democratic base has issues with mental health. That's, there have been books that have been written with jokes based on that title, but generally speaking, it does seem to prove out statistically. Gen Z men are more triggered by race than race or immigration. That is true as well in the data, and Gen Z men are more, Gen Z, another breakdown of that particular situation where Gen Z men, 30%, want a reduction in legal immigration. Women, 22%, but among older cohorts is much higher, still favoring men. The bottom line of all of this is that one thing you could do to attract more men is totally change all of your positions. Another possible topic here is don't try to attract people who are very, far-flung group, right? Like the approach for Democrats for a very long time was you had the working class as your base, right? People who are on the poorer side maybe didn't necessarily have as much in that working class. And you could kind of make it a class warfare thing against the evil rich fat cats. And then you picked apart at every single little group. Like you go after every different race, every different sexual preference, target women over men, everything you could do, every minority group, you'd pick apart 70-80% of those groups. And that's a coalition for you. That's true. That is a coalition if you can keep it together. But when you shed voters massively from the working class, and you shed massive voters from Latino groups and Black groups, and a lot of those groups are turned off by your other minority group embrace, like the dudes in dresses that have full beards. When you're doing all of that together, you've got a coalition that's crumbling. And the Democrats don't really know what to do here because, again, their large long-term goal, we talked about it yesterday, is not embracing LGBTQIA2+ issues. It's some version of Marxism or Marxism light. And you can't change those positions. You could lie about them, which is, what some Democrats have done. And that's a one path to go this way. But you can't change them because that's the whole goal. So I want to see where Dave Landau is on some of this. Why are Democrats shedding men like crazy? We'll get into that with Dave kind of next. Your wealth is important, and your financial legacy is important, and Constitution Wealth can make sure that financial legacy is tip-top. You want to make sure that your investments don't go to leverage investor funds and political activism that go against what you believe, right? Your American ideals. You want Constitution Wealth to help you. They can help you identify companies that deserve your backing and those that don't, okay? That's really important because it's not just your returns, which are vital. You have to have the returns when you're investing your money and you're trying to retire someday. But Constitution Wealth can make sure those returns don't come from companies that hate your guts. ConstitutionWealth.com/Blaze. Go there now. Get a free consultation today. This is really important because I know we don't think about the investment side of this as much as we do the products we're buying in stores, but it's much more important. ConstitutionWealth.com/Blaze. Constitution Wealth is a registered investment advisor. You should review Constitution Wealth's disclosures at ConstitutionWealth.com to understand their services and fees. All investing, of course, involves risk, including the risk of loss. I'm a client of the firm. This is a paid endorsement. My opinions are my own.
Kaffee in seiner besten Form mit der neuen Cubo One Kapselmaschine von Tchibo. In jeder Cubo-Kapsel steckt Spitzenkaffee aus besonderen Anbaugebieten. Für Espresso, Kaffeecrema oder Kaffeegrande auf Knopfdruck. Die neue Cubo One überzeugt mit Premium-Design, kompakter Größe und kleinem Einstiegspreis ab 29 Euro. Dank innovativer Press-Brew-Technologie wird jede Tasse besonders aromatisch mit samtiger Crema. Entdecke jetzt die Cubo-Kapselmaschinen in deiner Tchibo-Filiale und auf tchibo.de.
Joined now by Dave Landau, comedian and host of Normal World right here on Blaze TV. He's also the author of the new book, Party of One, which you can pick up wherever you get your books. And if you're in Greenville, South Carolina, you can catch Dave at the Comedy Zone June 13th and 14th. And then over at the Risk It Fest in Gaylord, Michigan on June 21st. Get your tickets at DaveLandau.com. Risk It Fest in yes. Gaylord, Michigan. Sounds like your kind of event.
Gaylord was my nickname for many years.
Okay.
But yes, it's Risk It Fest in Gaylord. It's where no condoms are allowed in the city for one day.
Really? Yep. Like a purge?
Yes.
No condom purge.
It is a sexual purge.
Okay.
And it's just Risk It Fest, anything goes. So if you happen to be driving in that area,
it's not over.
The rules. It's going to be a rough night for you.
Wow.
Anything goes. But
I will say it's the problem with this theory.
Yes.
Is in The Purge, the movies, you wouldn't be held criminally responsible for the crimes you committed on that night. I think with the Risk It Fest, you might be held responsible for whatever actions you take.
It depends. I mean, there is later. A good chance that that things may last.
what is really the Risk It Fest?
The Risk It Fest, I like how I just went with it completely. Yeah. Like, this is what it is. It's a group called it's Iron Pig Smokehouse, and they stayed open during COVID.
Oh, wow.
And they were attacked and berated, still get a bunch of crap, and all he was saying was, I'm not shutting down my restaurant. So he let people in, he let people outside, he did this whole thing. So this is him just trying to get more and more people from the community to join back in, especially with supposed new variants and stuff. And it's me and the original sax player from Pink Floyd, oddly enough.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's a very fascinating story.
It's a crazy show.
It sounds actually awesome.
Yeah, it'll actually be a really fun show. And you can legally use marijuana in Michigan, so I'm not going to detour you from a comedy show and a Pink Floyd show from doing that.
Yes, I don't think you could even if you wanted to, Dave. No. That's interesting. So he shut down completely?
He did.
Or he didn't shut down?
No, they tried to make him, and he didn't do it.
He didn't do it.
And he got stuck with fines. He went to court. They finally ruled in his favor years later, but it bankrupted him. And it's the Iron Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord, and it's just... It's a shame what he went through and still deals with, because you still have the people, like he'll video people who drive up and pull their masks down to call him a Nazi. And it's like, you know, it's been 5 years.
Yes, right.
And you're wearing a mask.
Yes.
Like you're wearing a...
I went to lunch the other day, driving over here near some fast food restaurant, and there's a guy crossing the street. It's 96 degrees outside. He's crossing the street with a mask on. Now, even in the peak of COVID, that never made any sense.
No, nor in the heat and the sun.
Right. it's just fascinating.
Well, and I love how it's all come out, where it's like, okay, so, you know, Fauci's just like, we made up the 6 feet. Right. Like, we know you did.
Yeah, I know. We were saying that, and you called us Nazis for it from when you pulled your mask down.
Exactly. We said it from the beginning. He's making this up.
Yeah.
He did come from Wuhan. Oh, the Wuhan lab?
Right, yeah.
Wow.
Just coincidence.
Yeah,
coincidence.
It's just crazy.
Pure coincidence. Just like the Risk It Fest, if there happens to be anything that happens there without condoms, just a coincidence.
Yeah, I feel like it's great that he's got the restaurant. Maybe don't call it Risk It Fest in Gaylord, Michigan. Maybe even move a town over. Yeah. But it is good to know.
Hey, come to this, Risk It. See what happens. And who knows?
Yes, get some brisket at Risk It, though. You could say that with
like
the barbecue.
Yeah, that's rhyme.
It's better than Glory Hole at the old pole.
Yeah, it is about 1% better than Gloria. Not much.
It really seems like there'd be one where you have to be like, these bathrooms are really bathrooms.
No,
you
really
don't have to be afraid.
There you go, a bunch of bathrooms, and then the one actual bathroom listed as over one of them.
Yeah, one just says actual bathroom.
I don't know if this is helping your ticket sales.
I hope it is.
I hope it is.
It's probably not. But
anyone who appreciates this is going to appreciate your show, I'm sure.
Oh, absolutely.
At the Risk-It Fest in Gaylord, Michigan. Let me build off of the COVID thing a little bit.
Sure.
Though, because we were just talking about how Democrats are trying to figure this out. There's a big podcast today from the New York Times saying that now something like 1,400 counties have moved every election toward Republicans and 50 counties have moved towards Democrats since 2012.
Okay.
I mean, that is a remarkable, that's not supposed to be that way. We're a divided country, right? So these counties are all moving toward the Republican side. And that's obviously from before COVID, but I do think it's picked up since COVID. I feel like that transition alerted a lot of people to like, wait a minute, one of these parties is just completely nuts. Like they want, they're saying boys or girls, they're saying we can't go outside. They're saying I can't go to my grandfather's funeral. I can't keep my risky, barbecue business
my
open.
Risky barbecue. It's a great movie. Risky barbecue business.
Starring a very, Tom Cruise's cousin.
Yes, there's Tom Cruisin.
Yeah, yeah. So is it like, is part of that whole thing we just talked about with the Democrats now really fighting to try to figure out what the hell happened? Why won't guys ever vote for us anymore? Is COVID a big chunk of that, you think?
Oh, I think it's a massive chunk. And then it goes into the younger people, too, who had to live with that. I was glad my son was young enough at the time to where it didn't affect him. Mm-hmm. Where at least I think, like, but then we sent him to a Christian school too, where he didn't have to wear the mask. It didn't become what I saw a lot of schools do. But I think it's across the board. When you feel like you're being controlled and you're being manipulated and you're watching society change for the worse constantly. And I think a lot of these cities have to be near cities where things happened, where maybe they pulled back laws, riots, whatever it may have been, but you can only allow so much to, like, you can only look at toothpaste at your local Walgreens inside of an aquarium for so long until you start switching up who you might vote for.
You think so? Although, when I look at major cities across the country, I find often they are willing to look at things much worse than toothpaste behind glass and accept it.
And Oakland, continue to vote the same way. They closed In-N-Out, man, and it was successful. They were like, look, we're still making money, but you have to stop killing people in our restaurant. And they still had...
That's a risky barbecue.
How do you lose In-N-Out and not go, we got to change?
Yeah. That's the foundation of the community.
I'm just saying.
Especially in California.
I think it's all that was left. Yeah. There was Too Short and In-N-Out.
Yeah.
It's all Oakland has left.
That's it.
They lost one of them.
They don't even have the A's. A's have moved to Sacramento even though they don't have a place to play. Like they're like, we're not going to be here. We don't know. We're not going to have a city name anymore in front of Athletics. We're just going to be Athletics. Yeah. And we're going to go somewhere other than this.
Yeah, they're like, look, Moneyball was great, but we're very scared. And we're just willing to play in a park until you guys figure it out.
It is true. The another part of this analysis that I mentioned was that Democrats seem to have more issues with mental illness, depression, and I don't know, look, these are real issues and people have to deal with them, but I do feel like there might be something here, not that not in the jokey way of saying that everyone is insane that's a Democrat, but like,
right.
When your view of the world is dark and you feel like everyone's out to get you and you're always viewing oppressors,
right?
Like all this, I think builds. It seems to be consistent with someone who has a really dark view of life.
Okay, so you're talking to one, and I think you know that.
You dark? I never sensed that.
Yeah, dark. Yeah, and my depression stems from childhood, knowing when I felt it. I think the problem now is people have things that are made up. I think people think that mental illness is cool and that it's chic. They want to be part of something. Mm. That's really what I feel like. There's so people diagnose themselves where they just go, yeah, I think it's just my autism. I'm sorry, what? Right. So you named a movie and you have autism?
Right.
Like you're not, stop just saying you have autism.
Yeah.
You don't have, Matt McClowery does my show. He has autism. Look at him. Look at him. And you tell me that's what you have. Like, he's dealt with it his whole life.
Yeah.
And I think they like that. They go, well, I'm really depressed. Well, or are you sad? See, depression is this constant feeling of bleak and darkness. Mm-hmm. I know that because I've lived in it my entire life. But it's fine. Like, right. But like this, the idea that you're sad or not getting your way, or you just want to be a part of something where you're screaming at people or bothering people online, that's not depressed. No depressed person goes to a protest. I believe, like maybe some do, I shouldn't say none. I've never hit a point of depression where I'm like, hey, you want to go out and protest some oil refinery? Right. I'd never be like, oh, well, now I'm getting out of bed.
Right.
I needed a reason to live, and you just came in here, and I didn't know that there was a transgender march downtown.
Right.
I'm going to put on my heels, and we're going to go do something special.
Hard to walk on those broken up streets because the mayor no longer fills the potholes. They instead just, you know, pass like commissions on human rights. So now you got to do that in your heels. You're already a guy. It's difficult.
The heels are tough. And I'm not saying that as a guy who's actually worn them, but I am 5'6". So I have in my life bought in shoe lifts.
Right.
And I'll tell you, the second I put them on, I was walking around. And my wife's like, you're walking like you're a tranny.
Right.
I don't know if we're allowed to say that, but it's what she said. Right. And she didn't even mean it in a derogatory way. She just meant it to insult me.
Right.
And I realized I was walking like a man that I was, a 40-year-old man walking in high heels.
Right.
Like, do I look taller and better now and more manly? No.
No.
You look like a bitch.
Not the way that works, apparently. Well, we actually do have some good trans news, some good developments,
good.
Very positive. And I've noticed this because I noticed at one point they were giving like Caitlyn Jenner, like, you know, athlete of the year or the ESPYs, and
of the year.
Yeah, they gave a man of the year to, or it was woman of the year. They gave to maybe it was Caitlyn Jenner or someone who was
the blonde one.
Whatever.
Colonel.
Yeah. Yes. And it was like, so you're saying the best woman of the year is a man?
It's a man.
Like, that's fascinating. We're really good at this. Like, we're really good at. Apparently being women.
As my friend Bridget always says, patriarchy's so crafty.
Yes.
We've just decided to go, hey, we're going to be women now to get everything back. And they're like, yes.
Yes, they cheered us on. It's like when you have the Swedish bikini team or whatever comes out and they're doing the protest where they're going like, we're going topless. And all the guys are like, darn it.
No,
fines all around. We'll pass them out later, but.
Oh, it's like, yeah, we're marching through France with no shirt on. Oh, don't do
that. Oh, gosh, people, not again.
I'm going to sit here in anger in this lawn chair so nobody sees my lap. Just cross-legged in a lawn chair. I'm like, you.
You darn dag nabbit. A.B. Hernandez would not give you the feeling that we're describing. It's a dude. And dudes tend to be really good at sports, particularly.
I also know that.
Yes, there you go.
As a diehard athlete.
Yes, seriously, yes. You'd be, I'm sure, very competitive in these events. A trans athlete wins two girls' events at the California Track and Field Finals. What was interesting about this is they changed all the rules before this event started.
Yeah.
And basically said, that with the threat from Donald Trump saying, hey, we're going to pull your funding, they changed the rules to say, hey, if this dude finishes first, we will give him the gold medal and then also give whoever finishes second the gold medal. So they'll both get the gold. Then the silver goes to whoever came in third and the bronze came whoever came in fourth. Now, I guess in some ways that a slight improvement over the old way, which, you know, the bronze medal winner just gets nothing.
Right.
But I don't know. Do you think this is a good solution?
Well, what if there's four guys on the team?
That's a great question.
Now it's just three dudes with just medals.
That's great. I like that. Wait, because would they also have to give the three top women? I think they would.
They would.
These prizes. So now you have seven people.
You have seven people with all, and they have the lowest one too.
Right, yes.
They have like the ribbon. Mm-hmm. The other ones, you know, the dude's holding up the trophy that he has and his college scholarship for being a great female swimmer.
Yes.
But then the girl who's really worked for it, she's got the silver. Or the bronze, green, or whatever they decide to give to the first place woman.
The greening copper. Yeah, just going the wrong direction.
The Susan B. Anthony Award.
Do you think? Because look, we've all talked about this issue 100 million times, right?
Oh yeah, ad nauseam.
It's annoying. We know all the parts. What I think that has not had enough attention in this entire equation is how annoying it is that the coaches keep doing this. The coaches of the teams, the coaches that take a women's coaching position. And like I saw this in there was another one of these stories just last week with a softball player, and he came out and pitched, and in the state championship semifinals and finals, they pitched this dude all 7 innings in both games. So he wound up shutting 2 teams out, 14 shutout innings. And like, that's just a douchey move by the coach. I don't even blame the kid. I don't even blame the parents as much. The coach cannot do that. That is just inexcusable to me.
I'll tell you why he's doing it. He's winning. I mean, when you look, this is basically the same thing Rodney Dangerfield did in Ladybugs.
Yes.
He just dressed the guy up and it's like, we have to win so I get a promotion. Mm-hmm. I think that's it. This is just the Ladybugs strategy of winning. Because if you have, like, it's like, great, you can do some underhand pitching. This guy throws a 90-mile-an-hour curveball. I mean, Janet throws a 90-mile-an-hour yes. curveball that you guys can't hit.
It's like legitimately what happened.
Yeah, they have to be sitting there going like, you know, we really could go down as legendary coaches. Mm. I mean, just saying. We don't have to say how.
I mean, half the country's going to praise you for it, I suppose.
Right, where before they'd pull the wig off and be like, you're fired. And now they're like, are there more of these? We have extra ribbons.
Right. Before we take a break, would you...
Mm-hmm. It depends on what you look like.
No.
I'm sorry.
A different question. Would you, you may have admitted a little too much there. But,
okay. Look, if it's not there anymore.
Again, you know.
What if I'm tricked?
I mean, you don't need to go on. Like, no one's requesting
That's true.
Yeah, you could just stop
I'm just
right
be right
now.
Here.
Would you take a woman player on a female player on the Detroit Lions if you believed it would have them make them win the Super Bowl?
Only as yes, but we've earned that as Lions.
Yeah, okay.
And I would say only as kicker, like I can't even remember her name, Kathy Ireland.
Oh, that's right.
Back in Necessary Roughness.
Yes.
Only as kicker.
Only
if
as
we
kicker.
Get a good kicker who's a female and looks enough like Kathy Ireland did in the 90s, that's fair.
That's fair.
Detroit should be able to get. Imagine if Detroit wins because we have a woman.
It's fine. Honestly, fine. No one even cares
really
if it goes the other way. You're right. But no one even cares. It's about competition, right?
Right.
It's not an unfair advantage to have a female kicker.
No, so I'd take her.
You take her.
I think people would be weird about tackling.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, where it's like, you got to be a little, you don't want to give CTE to some girls.
Yeah, dude, give them CTE all day.
Yeah, that's fine. That never turns out bad.
No, of course not. Dave Landau, we have more with him in just a minute. We're back with Dave Landau. Dave, Donald Trump been very busy. Got a lot going on. Big, beautiful bill. They're in the middle of passing that.
Big, beautiful.
Might be getting in a fight with Elon now. I don't know. It seems like that's
our struggle.
The wrong direction.
Yeah.
Because you just want to light your multi-billion-dollar benefactor on fire, which is what it's going to happen. Just like a Tesla. It's going to go on.
Just like one of his dealerships.
There's also this thing with pardons that is happening a lot. And it's like kind of in the background. It's just seemingly like all these celebrities that Donald Trump knows that have committed crimes. He's like, all right, you guys are out.
Yeah.
He was asked about Diddy. Now, Diddy the last one, I don't know who the reality stars were, but like a couple, they had some tax issues or something.
They had some tax. He seems gay, but he's not.
Okay.
That guy.
I didn't know that.
But he just got out. That's the only way I can describe him. But if you find him, you tell me that man is straight.
Okay. And you, by the way, if you want to ask him, he'll be at the Risk It Fest in Gaylord, Michigan coming
up. That guy's
up.
Like, I just got pardoned. It's great. He's got that like Southern effeminate voice.
Yes.
Where he's like, I just want people out of my neighborhood that are like that.
And so it's not that he's just very pleasant and nice to deal
with. Yes, that kind of guy. Yeah. Very Ted Haggard.
Yeah,
very straight as an arrow.
Straight as an arrow. Okay.
Do a prostitute male. Anyway, go on.
Okay. So
I'm going to stop.
A little bit off topic. Not off the topic of Risk It Fest, but we're going pardons here, where he actually was asked about Diddy, and he's like, I'll consider it. I want to look at the facts of it. Now, he didn't commit to it, but I don't know if he has any relationship, Trump, with Diddy from back in the day.
Maybe I don't know.
But he does have a relationship with Fitty Cent, and I can say it that way because I feel comfortable
it's
doing
Fitty
it.
It's Fitty Cent.
Yes, that particular currency value. He is in, they have a relationship. Like, he was an early supporter of Trump.
Yes.
He's now saying he's going to reach out to Trump in effort to prevent Trump pardoning Diddy, which is, I just feel like, not the political news I felt like I'd be covering.
This is a man, what I love about Fitty, as I call him, Cent, when we have lunch. This is a man who has been shot like 100 times.
Yes.
Has dealt with drug dealers, has been a gangbanger, turned his life around, but has really seen the dregs of society. Mm-hmm. And he's like, hey, don't pardon that guy. If he says that, don't do that.
Don't do that.
That's that simple.
Like, you don't even have to ask him for follow-up. There's that. Well, why? You don't even have to ask that.
Yeah, you're like, you wouldn't understand why. Just don't.
Don't. This is the type of stuff that happens in neighborhoods you feel like Donald Trump doesn't frequent, right?
Right.
He's seen the darkest parts of the criminal enterprise.
So there's some dead grass on the golf course.
Yes. Yes. Very true. That's a good safety tip.
Yeah.
I feel like the pardon thing should be something you're pretty careful with, generally.
Yes.
Like, you just don't want to be on the wrong side of pardoning someone who then goes out and, you know, murders someone or, God forbid, you know, sexually assaults some woman. I mean, if Diddy gets out and gets back to his old behavior, that's on Trump.
Yeah, the same. And there's, I think, 4,200 in the Biden cabinet that got pardoned.
Yeah.
And that's a lot. Mm-hmm. Like, how are 4,200 people not guilty?
Yeah, I know. It seems unlikely. Although, there was all the January 6th people got pardoned by Trump. And, like, I understand the rationale behind that, right? Like, we've talked about it a million times. However, one of them has to be an absolute douche, right? Like, he just has to be the worst person. He's got to commit a crime, and it's going to look bad.
Yeah, the problem is, like, even if you see the guy who did allegedly, which even though it didn't happen, crap on Nancy Pelosi's desk,
right.
I don't consider that a crime.
You don't?
No,
okay.
So I think it's fine that he got out.
Okay.
That's just my way of looking at it. But
I
get Trump's point because he hasn't been found guilty yet, so I think he's just playing politics.
Right.
Think that's all he's doing is playing politics.
I think that's true, too. Greta Thunberg is deciding now she's going to set sail with the Gaza flotilla that is aiming to break the Israeli naval blockade. Again, Greta, who for some reason seemingly just keeps getting treated as if she's 14 years old when she's not.
No.
She's now a full adult. We're not supposed to criticize her stupid anti-Semitic opinions because she was against climate change in 2006. I don't really understand what's going on here.
I don't either. I think it's a shame. I'd say put a tiger on the boat, like Life of Pi, but she's already going to be killed when she gets there, so we can wait.
Right.
I mean, it's like you're just sailing to your own death. There's nothing funner than, like, I'm here for I'm here for Hamas.
Yeah.
And people say you confuse that, and it's not. Like, how many terrorist attacks have happened in this country this year that we're completely ignoring? Mm. You look at, like, New Orleans, the thing with the dude with the flamethrower, all that stuff.
It's D.C.
The two people shot there. It's happening constantly. Mm-hmm. And then this idiot's like, I'm going to also, way to make me not believe climate change.
Yes. I want that to be a standard. Like, when you come out with this big opinion and you're very well known for it, and then everyone praises you for it, and then, like, 2 weeks later, you're like, by the way, the Jews, like, your old issue should be disqualified.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. You're like, you can't do both.
No.
You can't I'm just saying I don't like them. And I don't like, I also don't like these factories pumping out all this stuff into the air. I'm very afraid of two things. That's the world warming up and the banks. And I'll tell you who runs Hollywood. Look, and climate change.
It's 0.9 degrees in Hollywood. Yeah. Those are the two things. I only have my two. Yeah.
That's it. Jews and the weather.
I feel like that is a thing. That's a standard we should adopt.
Yes.
You know, I mean, I don't think it's too much to ask. And I also think there has to be some sort of transition. It might be wrong to say, hey, that 14-year-old who's out there doing her cause, let's not be too mean to her, even if her points are dumb.
Right.
Because she's 14. All right. Like, I get it. I'm an idiot now, but was also an idiot at 14, I'm sure. So I get that.
Right.
However, when, like, you know, we're talking about, like, you know, you can't criticize RFK Jr. because he's a son of a former candidate. It's like, well, no, he's an adult.
Right.
At some point, you become an adult, right?
I toured with RFK Jr. when he was on the campaign. Yeah. I still make fun of RFK Jr. on my show. I like him as a person.
Yes.
But yeah, they'll say, too, because of his, like, oh, well, his voice. I'm like, no. He uses his voice for a reason. Mm-hmm. Like, you can't just start saying all these things. Like, you can't make, you can absolutely pick apart any politician.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, we came from that lineage?
Right.
Like, which one? The bootlegging one? Like, you're just talking about the two assassinations. We're not talking about Teddy driving a woman into a river.
Right.
Into the old Chippewyata or whatever it was.
Chappaquiddick,
yeah.
Close.
And then I got close. Yeah. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Then comes back to the house just dripping wet with fish on him and is like, hey, has anybody seen my date?
Yeah, that's totally fine.
They're not exactly known as the best people.
Again, I was just using RFK Jr. as an example of someone who's obviously old enough to not get the kid exemption.
Right.
Right? But, like, there's a lot.
You hear it.
There's a lot. There's a lot with the Kennedys that we could go into that could last forever.
Right. And I like, like I said,
yeah,
I
no,
like,
yeah, yeah, but, yeah.
No, and I'm just saying, though, like, you were allowed to pick that apart, so we're definitely allowed to pick apart a woman who's sailing to her own murder.
Yeah. And so, like, people are like, oh, gosh, sorry. It's offensive to mention that. But it's like, she, like, I don't know, like, if without any defense from probably Israel, what's going to happen to her there? Terrible things, probably. Now, maybe because she's a big supporter, they'll leave her alone. I don't know. But I can tell you that big supporters that moved real close to the Gaza border because they were big supporters of all the pro-Palestinian talking points are the ones that got killed first on October 7th. Because they were close to the border.
Right.
Like, it didn't matter if you supported Hamas or not. You were a Jew.
Yes, exactly. And if somebody tells you that, like, look, there's this place that hates you and everything about you. Oh, and they hate your sex, too. In fact, they might even remove the part of it that gives you pleasure. They kill people all the time. There's wars going on. Do you want to rent a boat?
No. I'm off on that one. So I'm going to say no.
It just makes it makes no sense, and it makes me wonder, too. It even goes back to your Democrat thing. How hard did we push these people into thinking that they have some kind of voice, that they make the dumbest decision humanly possible?
Yeah, it really is. I blame Rock the Vote for all of this.
Me too.
Because we were told that they should go Rock the Vote, when instead they should stay home until they learn something about what the voting is going on.
I feel a lot of those guys weren't even voting. I think they were just on heroin doing it for money.
Yes.
And you know who else did Rock the Vote? P. Diddy, many, many times.
Very, very true. Mm-hmm. Gosh, a lot of people like to just get rid of the footage that they have with good old Diddy these
don't
days.
They? Yeah.
But I think we should remind MTV of what they were doing.
He was telling you to get out there and vote.
Get out there and vote. Not for Republicans, of course. It was always the Democrats. But now he's going to be like, Diddy's going to be releasing, you know who's great is this Donald Trump. I just got a Truth Social account. Come join me. Yeah. Like, Diddy's all in now.
Yeah. Well, Kurt Loder and Kennedy were both like, I don't like any of this. But
right.
They were pretty quiet about it.
Yes, they were very quiet. But I'm glad they eventually started talking. Dave Landau, glad he's talking too, even if it is at Risk It Fest. We'll give you the dates here in a second, but it's Normal World, of course, right here on Blaze TV. Don't miss that. The new book, don't miss it as well. Party of One, anywhere you get your books, can go pick up a copy. It's definitely, it's hilarious. You got to pick that up.
Thank you.
And then also Comedy Zone in Greenville, South Carolina, June 13th and 14th, and Risk It Fest in Gaylord, Michigan, mm-hmm. June 21st. Don't want to miss that at all. It's DaveLandau.com for tickets. Dave, thanks so much, man.
Thanks for having me.
Well, Maxine Waters is in the news. She is now going to pay $68,000 in fees for violating campaign finance laws. Fascinating, of course. The FEC accused Citizens for Waters failing to accurately report receipts and disbursements in calendar year 2020, knowingly accepting excessive contributions, and making prohibited cash disbursements. According to one document that appears to be legally binding agreement that allows both parties to avoid going to court, got a bunch of donations that were too much for that, higher than the allowance. Again, I'm not in favor of any of these campaign finance laws. I mean, we have a First Amendment in this country. If you're really rich and you want to spend your money on politics, I don't see how you could be stopped. I don't understand it. You know, there's all sorts of laws I don't agree with in that realm. That being said, if you're a Democrat and you push for those laws, you probably have to pay attention to them. By the way, Maxine Waters, was elected to Congress when I was in middle school. I want you to understand that's how long she's been there. She's been there since 1991. Holy crap. 1991, she, of course, has also had campaign finance problems in the past, and she's a disaster really from beginning to end. Not to mention she's threatening Republicans' lives half the time, allegedly. By the way, Blaze TV is available for you to join. Go to StuDoesAmerica.com, StuDoesAmerica.com. Use the promo code STU. It'll save you $20 off your annual subscription. Do that now. StuDoesAmerica.com. Promo code is STU. Get $20 off. Thanks for subscribing to Blaze TV.
Meditieren, Yoga, Joggen, nichts entspannt mich.
Echt? Mich entspannt meine Steuer total.
Steuer? Wie Finanzamt? Die Steuererklärung?
Ja, ich habe ganz locker über 1000 Euro zurückbekommen.
Hast du geheime Connections?
Nö, nur die Wieso-Steuer-App.
Wow, und das ist einfach?
Klar, die macht fast alles automatisch.
Plötzlich fühle ich mich so entspannt. Hol dir dein Geld zurück. Tiefenentspannt mit Wieso-Steuer.